Thanks for everyone for coming today. It's great to see you all for Lab Talk Live part two. So firstly, I want to bring up the guests who are coming to speak on the panel. Okay, so today we're going to be talking about shining a light on ad tech transparency. I'd like to welcome all my guests. Hi. And I'll let them introduce themselves and kind of tell you what they do on a daily basis and why they're interested in transparency.
Hi, everyone. Good afternoon. My name is Lan Ray. I work at OMD. I head up all things audience solutions. And so what that basically means is my day-to-day to work across different accounts, provide different audiences programmatically. And so that is through Quikulous, first-party data, second-party data, and also using CRM and things like that. So the reason why I am interested in transparency is because where we are working programmatically, where you've highlighted earlier around the fees and the transparency, it's really, really important because moving forward, it's getting much more competitive, especially with industries that work in with automotive where everyone wants to go for luxury. And so based upon that, we're trying to be competitive in terms of the, the formats that we have available and also the audiences that we do pass forward. And so I feel like transparency is something that's so important. And so that's where we've been able to kind of work with different, transparency verification partners, whether it's double verified and things like that. So just trying to do that on steroids and go from there, really. Thank you.
Hello, everybody. Great to be here. My name's James Trott. I look after global addressable media for the Coca-Cola company, which generally, in simple terms, I think my remit is to make sure that programmatic or addressable performance is as good as it can be, really, on a global scale, and also trying to build solutions and capabilities that give us the best chance of delivering exceptional results when transacting media in that way. I'm interested in transparency because it's just fundamental, right, to everything that we do in this sort of in this context and in this space. And I'm sure we'll unpack a lot more about that as we go along. But yeah, great to be here.
Hello all, I'm Laurie O'Riordan. I will be hosting our rodeo for today. But I am the head of programmatic over at Digitas UK, so part of Publicis Group, but we are actually in the lovely Chancery Lane office, so sit quite separate from our Publicis Media friends. So my day-to-day is honestly mostly just keeping fires at bay and doing admin at this point, but yeah, anything programmatic sits within the remit of myself and my team.
Hi, I'm Flaminia, and I lead Marketplace for Magnamia at IPG. All I look after is essentially anything specific to inventory product development, and so SPO has always been one of the biggest projects that I worked across within the company in Australia and then also here in EMEA, so it's been very interesting to see the ecosystem from different regions and standpoints, and, no matter where we've been and where I worked across, transparency has always been key, particularly within SPO, but just within the programmatic industry. It's a business that, or an industry that is overly scrutinized because it's extremely complex, so guaranteeing transparency to advertisers is the least we can do.
Great, thank you. And just to kind of set the scene, I know Ben mentioned the ISBA report earlier. This was carried out in 2022, I believe, was the second report. And there were 1.3 billion impressions that they were trying to look at within that, and they could only match from buyer to seller 61 million of them, which is less than 5%. And they found that publishers received less than half of that money, which obviously is quite a big deal for SPO. It just goes to show that there's quite a lot getting taken out of the middle. So in light of that, I guess we'll start with the question. So what is your company's and your own personal views on transparency within the programmatic supply chain? And I guess we'll start with Flaminia in the end.
Yeah, you've mentioned the ISBA reports. I think those findings shined a much needed light on the complexity of the programmatic supply chain and the need to simplify and declutter. So we saw, in this space, we saw SPO as the biggest change we can make as media buyers to address supply transparency and future-proof our media buying. I think, like I said before, advertisers need to demand transparency, and I think that the best way that's achieved is by simplifying the supply chain and provide access to SSP log-level data, which is the most transparent data set in this space. And those were actually some of the key outcomes of the 2022 ISBA reports, and something that we at Kinesso really agree with based on the years of experience we had providing SPO for our advertisers. I think our strategy around SPO is always first and foremost focused on transparency, even before price. We have done a lot of work to enhance performance in this space and really focus on giving advertisers the right trust. So over the years, we have ran recurring audits of all the main SSP partners in market. And what we've really focused on, we have RFID partners on across over 40 categories, obviously to reduce murkiness, but just to create a healthy ecosystem, we did a consolidated selection of partners. And amongst all of the elements that we have verified partners on, what we mostly focused on was their ability to provide transparency of auction and fees through not only Bitstream data, but also log-level data, and also being fully auditable by third parties to provide that trust for advertisers. Their ability to add value, not only to advertiser ROI, but also publisher yield, and then obviously solutions that will enhance campaign performance for our advertisers in this space. And I think we were able to essentially create a healthy ecosystem which not only was auditable and transparent, but that has largely increased win rate and working media for our advertisers.
It's great that you've got such good experience with the ISBA report. Do you find that advertisers themselves actually kind of understand the ad tech world and how much of that is getting taken kind of on the way to the publisher?
It depends on how savvy the advertiser is. In some instances, yes, and in other instances, they require support and education. And I think in instances where the advertiser is not extremely savvy, sometimes findings across these studies can be misinterpreted. And so there's a lot of work then that we need to do to kind of address what we're doing and how we can collaborate. But the key communication and constant education for advertisers is key, and that's kind of why we're there for them.
Yeah, so I think between 2020 and the 2022 kind of redo, if you will, of the ISBA report, I think there were a couple pieces that affected not just the advertisers and obviously the education piece that I think we've been doing as, you know, agency partners for quite some time there. I think there's been pieces as well on the publisher side as well as, you know, the supply side that we're seeing out of that, because obviously that delta percentage was what I think 15% in the original 2020 study, and then it was about 3% in the 2022 study. So I think a bit of that is coming down to people just being more aware and more conscious of that delta percent and trying to understand exactly where that's coming from. So that was definitely down to your, you know, traditional SSP partners. So I think there's that accountability piece that you talked to. That was definitely key. But there's some other pieces, I think, that have come out of it just within even the space of the last maybe year and a half. When we're thinking about kind of I guess from the agency side or the holdco side, I think some people have tried to maybe get around some of the SPO pieces by making their own kind of marketplace solutions. And in theory, that sounds really great. But when you think about it, that's just adding another percent fee right on top. So you might be getting that transparency, but at the expense of what? Versus something like blockchain back tech, which is just giving you that transparency, but with a very, again, transparent fee percentage. It's not necessarily adding another piece on top. But the other side of things is for the likes of, you know, let's say Netflix, for example, when they first launched their ad-supported tiers, they were really, really careful about making sure that started with their own tech and not necessarily jumping into some of the SSP providers. Again, you know, in recent weeks, they've definitely, I think they said Magnite, Trade Desk, and DV360 are all going to be rolled out in the next coming months. But I think there's that consciousness that you're getting from suppliers like that, especially within that CTV and BVOD space, that you weren't getting in years past. They would just say, okay, great, we want to partner with, you know, the traditional partners in the space, the ones that have been around for ages. But it's the same thing that you were chatting about within, you know, that exponential growth you're seeing. We're using that technology from 15, 20 years ago from an SSP space, whereas the likes of a Netflix are at least giving it that extra thought, giving it a little bit more time to say, hey, we want to actually do the due diligence to make sure that we're, you know, being conscious and being responsible in the space of transparency. So I think that's kind of the two pieces I see coming out of it.
And I take it you guys kind of do audit your own SPO quite a lot. Do you see more than 5% from buyer to seller, or is it kind of dependent on different partners? Like, how does that work?
We definitely see more than 5%, but yeah, I would say it depends on the advertiser and kind of the approach that they've taken to market. So, you know, for some of our larger suppliers where they're really focused heavily on that kind of premium, I'm hearing Trade Desk in the background saying the premium internet. But I think some of our advertisers are taking a very similar view, and from a programmatic space, I think originally, obviously, everyone was like, great, you know, we want to make sure that we're open exchange everything or we're PMP everything because we're going to get the most efficiency. But I think there has been a transition in the last, you know, maybe 5-7 years back to things like PG or, you know, those sort of spaces where you are seeing a bit more transparency, and also you're seeing kind of those, you know, lower percentage fees just because you don't have the hops.
Okay, cool. Everything's quite cyclical, I suppose, isn't it? It comes back around to how people used to buy
stuff.
Yeah,
we love a bandwagon in advertising.
James, from the sort of advertiser perspective, how do you guys see it?
Yeah, I was also going to comment on the two reports, actually, because I kind of do take the ISBA and PwC reports with a slight pinch of salt, to be honest. I think the 20, and it's all probably more to do with a degree to how do you recognise PwC as like an authority on programmatic, is that the first report in 2020, basically, I think, you could, as you said, 5% was matched, and the unknown delta, which they just didn't know where the investment went, can allocate for it, was 17%. 2 years later, that did actually increase the match rate to 58%, and the unknown delta went down to 3%. So, like, okay, so what degree actually are the market dynamics changing, or to what degree have you just got better at doing this task? So, as a contemporary reference point for understanding the programmatic supply chain, I don't have shitloads of confidence in it, to be honest, but I think anybody who's trying to understand and trying to provide data to help buyers and sellers in the space is doing a good thing. I will offer an alternative, though. I think what the ANA do in terms of their programmatic supply chain investigation is pretty high quality. They partner with Fiducia and Tag Trust. Fiducia have a good track record and are pretty established in analyzing log level data. And they in 2023 were able to produce a report where all of the investment was accounted for. There was no unknown delta. Although I will see that they did state that 15% of impressions were non-measurable, and 15% is a very meaningful part of any given campaign. But as a business, we actually quite like to follow the way that they describe and talk about transparency, which is essentially splitting everything into two. So you look at how transparent are your technology costs. How much do you know, and to what confidence do you know that you're paying DSP fees, SSPs fees, data fees, anything else on that side? And then the other side is more about your transparency into the media that you're buying, and effectively the quality metrics, so the likes of MFA exposure, right, MFA percentage, viewability, all that kind of stuff. And if you really consider it, then you can arrive at something that they call a true CPM. So effectively, how many impressions, how much have you paid for the impressions that you're buying that you consider to be working media and that you consider to be quality impressions? And as a business, I think we're trying to move forward in the sense to close the gap as close as possible between true CPM and net CPM, basically, which is a pretty good indicator, I think, that you're going on the right path when it comes to transparency. But even though I said that, obviously, that I don't particularly trust the ISBA sort of reports, I do agree with a lot of what you guys are saying. I do agree with a lot of what Ben's saying. And there's actually somebody that we speak to in the market called Dr. Augustine Fu. And he believes that the amount of ad fraud in the space is significantly underreported. He thinks that really the likes of DoubleVerify and IAS in the world are only scratching the surface when they say 2% or 3% ad fraud. It's actually a lot higher. So I think transparency and where we actually need to get to achieve full transparency is still a long way to go. And I think you guys do a bloody good job, actually, of helping us going down that path.
Thanks. Landry?
So I think from OMD perspective, we do try and adopt really strong governance in terms of obviously the transparency. So key things that we've done is obviously verifying things through Double Verified. So getting accounts to do weekly, monthly audits to as a percentage to see what is above and beyond. And what we'll do is create a benchmark across different industries. And then based upon that, we'll then go back to the supplier and say, hey, you've shortchanged us, et cetera, et cetera. And also what we try and do is create transparency around all the different like fees and costs, because like to what's been highlighted earlier, I made a note as an example that like you've got fixed fees for services, you've got fixed fees for programmatic commissions, and you've got agency ad tech aggregated fees and publisher fees. So obviously, as you can see, there's like five different fees that you need to consider. And so we as an agency try and strip that out and just focus predominantly on the tech fees, because then we can handle the rest and then build it from there. So yeah, I think governance for us has been really, really important. And obviously trying to validate this through whether it should have been verified and things like that, just to make it make sense, especially where we consider it so different for automotive versus fashion, et cetera, et cetera. So yeah, that's been our approach thus far.
Yeah, it's interesting that, because I guess with those fixed fees, it's like the more you're buying, the less impact they necessarily have on your overall spend, or the percentages that's getting taken.
Yeah, because I think obviously from different media partners that we're working with and even clients, their main focus is, to your point, around that CPM, the actual CPMs, especially where I'm working on accounts that are looking for luxury, and they do get very spicy around the CPMs going for luxury audiences. And so this is where we are having to work directly with the relevant suppliers to make it make sense, because sometimes you speak to Farfetch and they may say, oh yeah, CPMs for luxury targeting is that £50, and you're like, no one's going to pay that. So, you know, you've got to start again. So that's where we've tried to adopt a governance approach, working directly with them to get favorable rates where we can guarantee spend and then work that way around. And that seems to work so far.
Yeah, as an ex-Condé Nast employee, I know those kind of rates. So.
Yeah, I saw it. I was like, computer says no. I was like, yeah, but no one's paying that.
Yeah, they can, especially for certain home pages and things like that. It's quite hard, but okay, great. So I guess the next question is, in what way does transparency change the effectiveness of the campaigns that you're trying to do? So if you think about those extra costs that we just spoke about, the amount of media that you can buy for that, and then the kind of outcomes of the metrics that you're trying to find at the other end. James, do you want to start off?
The sort of answers that I prepared for this and the impact of transparency, I think, can be quite nicely summarised in confidence. One part of that was investor confidence, and the second part of that was to your point, the confidence in the results that you can achieve. Was when that 15% was first published in 2020, we really had to defend this way of buying, because if it was to believe, led to be believed that 15% of your campaign, you didn't know where it was going, then investors were not particularly sort of like pleased about that, right? So I guess the other side to your point and to your question is the result. And something that is easily done, more so in programmatic than other ways of buying, is to create tests and learn, whether it's channels, whether it's audiences, whether it's different data partners and providers. You can do that really easily in a really meaningful way. However, I'll give you an example. Let's say you've got two different markets. You do your absolute best to make sure that the conditions in those markets are exactly the same, so you can have some integrity in a test. But in one market, you deploy display, and the other you don't, and you try and understand what was the impact of display, right? Try and give an ROI to that display. And then let's say later on, a year later, you discover that the million impressions that you bought, actually only 50% of them were viewable, and actually 10% of them were fraudulent, that kind of stuff. It completely invalidates the any read that you get, any strength that you get. So it's impossible to sort of like move forward if you're not 100% confident in what you're buying, and the results and the reads that you take from it just come into question. So it's fundamental. It's integral, really.
And I guess also in those different markets, the rates are very different. So you're kind of comparing apples and oranges quite often. That it makes it quite difficult if you don't even necessarily have full transparency over everything.
Yeah, sorry, by markets, I'm more meant sort of like Manchester versus Birmingham or whatever. Yeah, it'd be very difficult, doing it, comparing India to Mexico or whatever, I'm sure.
Yeah, so I think there's two pieces that we've taken a look at just with a few of our different advertisers. So I used to work on a very large banking client, financial client in the US, and that was a really, really heavy piece of their business, because I used to work on some of the more kind of B2B pieces as well as some of their investment banking services. So it is a very, very, you tend to see a lot of consistency, so you don't necessarily have the same sort of kind of market level fluctuations that you'd see within a lot of different, different industries or verticals. So we did a ton of testing back in the day, just in terms of how we were seeing transparency affect a lot of our cost per. So there were, cost per sign up type, KPIs, and we saw drastic decreases in all of those cost pers when we started implementing a lot of pieces around transparency and SPO. Again, back in that day, SPO was really down to pick and choose your SSPs, which there's a lot more to it now. And I think what we've started to do, and I think maybe a piece that is a bit less focused on the agency side, has been really getting that feedback loop going with a lot of our publisher partners. So again, not necessarily cutting out any of the SSP conversations, because they're obviously super important, and they facilitate a lot of the tech obviously behind it. You know, thinking about the log level data, I think everyone's aware of that and have kind of gone through that process to go through that log level data and start making those decisions and making cuts there, and as you go. But I think a lot of times what we ended up seeing was we'd start cutting partners, really quality publications out of our performance campaigns without terribly much feedback to them of why exactly we were doing that. So once we started getting that feedback loop going, where we gave them a ton more information, we gave them that, in some cases, log level data to be able to take a look with us, so they could get their tech teams involved and see exactly which SSP partners would make sense for both us and them. So we started seeing massive kind of increases in performance goals and, decreases in cost pers once we started getting a bit more time back with those publishers. Plus then they're getting to see, those increases across the board in their revenue as well. So we've seen it work in both ways.
What kind of differences did you see across SSPs, I guess? Because everyone's got kind of similar inventory, right? So effectively, it really is between the tech that they're using.
Yeah, tough one. Really more so recently, we've seen some of the larger ones make a lot more bigger bets in terms of the media types. So whether you're looking at, the ones that are facilitating buys like a BVOD or a CTV, obviously CTV is less new. BVOD's not even that new to begin with, but I would say they've been starting to make a lot more moves in terms of cleaning up their supply paths. When we're thinking about some of those newer emerging markets, or I should say less emerging now, but gaming is another piece that we're starting to see, where very particular SSPs are making big bets in terms of like streamlining a lot of that inventory, whereas before that was kind of one of those another slightly shady space where everyone was kind of doing the same thing. You had very minimal inventory going through programmatic. So I think those are the places that we're actually seeing the most change in terms of cleaning up, from an SSP perspective in a lot of your display and video kind of generic SSP relationships. We're really not seeing terribly much movement anymore in the last, 2 years.
Yeah, I guess that's something to do with pre-bid. Probably most people are built based off the back of that, so it's all pretty similar tech at the end of the day.
I kind of on the same page with everyone else. I think lack of transparency makes it almost impossible to do our job. Like, you won't even know what impact you had on ROI without having full visibility on what you're buying and how you're buying and how much it costs. I think a lot also comes down to de-risking your advertiser supply by working with fewer and transparent partners, obviously. So then you also then prevent involvement of bad actors that are arbitraging or fraudulent. But beyond the obvious of having to have visibility on every impression hops to understand where to declutter and where to add efficiencies, I think lack of transparency massively impact also sustainability, because again, by understanding how many players are involved and again how many impressions events we are to an extent executing with the methodology that we're using, we do have the ability to declutter and have an immediate effect on carbon footprint, which is becoming more and more increasingly important for our advertisers, which is great. So again, it's key, which is why I think supply path optimization is really future-proofing everything we do.
Yeah, it's true. We've focused quite a lot on specifically around price, but actually things like green impact is very big, especially when you think that people like Danone will spend a lot of money trying to create a yogurt pot that can decompose, but then their whole advertising budget is getting used across not very green methods. But yeah, it's interesting. Thanks.
I think it seems like obviously everyone summarized it really well, but I feel like the two parts are the business value versus the obviously optimization piece. So for us, the transparency has been really important, because when we are speaking to businesses, whether it's Levi's or Mercedes-Benz, when they're able to see the actual true value of the SSP partners that we've got, then it reassures them to do more test and learn programs and things like that, because that's really the best way we've been able to really push through different programmatic buys, whether it's format or PG deals, is by showing them the transparency that it's more than X amount percent, and then based upon that gives us the option to be able to do more things and work more closer with publishers and then build it from there. So for us, our the business values through the test and learn program. Then obviously where we've got then the automotive automated like bidding strategies and things like that, it's been really, really important for us to get that transparency, because it actually provides programmatic traders with a lot more insight, and so they can be a lot more tactical, because as you know, it's really competitive, everyone's trying to bid for the same thing at the same time. So with that transparency, we make our bidding strategies much more cleaner and just go from there.
Yeah, it's interesting as well, because we're kind of talking about transparency of stuff that you are winning, but yeah, then there's like all of the information about the stuff that you didn't win, which probably tells you more about how your bidding strategy might look, sure, like what you might be bidding at, yeah, especially in that kind of luxury space when you think that like the top 1% of people probably earns like £100,000 a year or something, but they cross loads of other groups that they might be targeted for.
Correct.
So for you guys being able to like bid at the right
bid at the right moment and trying to understand more of the unknowns, because I know obviously with the transparency studies that's been shown, that's the piece that it's always very hard to find, like the unknown reasons why we haven't won the impression bids, and why is it that certain SSPs are not being transparent in terms of what's available, time of day, etc., etc. So that's where, because we've been focused on luxury, it's become more and more important, because as you know, when you're going for luxury, affluent people, attention to detail is really important, and I think using the transparency tool and module, like, it's been really beneficial, and we've been able to really, you know, make some savings and build it from there, really. So onwards and upwards.
Okay, nice. So I guess the last, like, also the next question, sorry, is what kind of like frictions have you faced when trying to implement SPO strategies? Like, what are the, I guess there's a lot of partners involved, they have to be able to like talk to each other through APIs or whatever it might be, but what's the kind of general friction that you see? Flamini, do you want to start with that?
Yeah, there's a few things. I mean, given that we really are leveraging, to us, log-level data is the best way to guarantee that transparency. So a lot of our challenges have been linked to an extent even obtaining log-level data and store it and analyze it given the depth of it. And we've also encountered issues where like SSPs didn't have the infrastructure to share log level data, which again, it makes it very fragmented and very complicated, or had even objections to share it linked to things like GDPR concerns or publisher contracts preventing them to share things like take rate data, which I think in this day and age, given everything that we've worked on when it comes to SPO, it's a little bit of an outdated argument. So all of these challenges have prompted us to work on our own kind of like log level data tool that we're currently working on, and I'm quite excited about, which is designed essentially to harmonize that data, even in the way it gets visualized, because if you kind of see an output, it's just really hard to make sense out of, and also inform that optimization scenarios, which again, to your point, would really, really help traders creating like improving performance. And I think in this sense, it's interesting to see how SPO really is a journey and not a quick fix, which is such a big like point that we have to make with clients when we do education. And then I think the other big challenge that I've seen happening, particularly at the beginning, is the fact that we want to ensure that all of the optimizations that DSPs do within the supply chain are within the bitstream and visible. And that not always was the case. So we had to do a lot of work to make sure that that was in place. And then obviously there is situations where even like quite prevalent SSPs don't have the transparency that we require or don't agree to be fully auditable. And so in that case, we do have to either deprioritize them or remove them completely from our buys. And if the SSP in case is quite prevalent, it creates some challenges when it comes to ensuring the performance is maintained and scale is maintained.
That's interesting. And did you find kind of any difference between like the European market and the sort of APAC region, or is it quite similar?
I found the APAC region, or at least, I mean, in Australia specifically, given it's a very small market and we're very far away, they are very far away from everyone. What I've experienced, there is a lot of willingness from tech partners to test and fail fast. So we have done so much work collaboratively to create like brand new like tech solutions for clients that have almost never failed and work incredibly well. And we've done it very fast. So we all know each other. It's a very small business, small industry. So I found that a little bit hard, particularly looking after like EMEA as a region, because obviously we have to think about all sorts of different nuanced markets. And again, there is a much bigger influence here from the US, and so things are done a little bit more, like, you don't have that opportunity to kind of like fail fast, and so things are done a little bit more slowly, and so there's less opportunity for, you know, creating something new.
Okay, nice, thanks for that.
Yeah, so I think I think for very, very similar in terms of the friction that we typically see as well. I think Publicis has done something very similar in terms of building out a tool. They've also kind of included quite a bit of the very jargony, to be fair, pieces in the industry as well, like including within that SPO tool, there's, you know, their attention metrics that are being pulled in and all of these other pieces that have slowly taken over every, you know, piece of our conversations with clients. So I think they're great tools to have in terms of also weeding out, like you said, a lot of the partners that aren't able to give us that log level data. So it does give us kind of that automatic, you know, framework that we use for a lot of our clients, because I think with any SPO strategy, if you do have a team big enough to make bespoke models for each of your clients, I would love to know who you've bribed. But I think for us, it definitely becomes more of that has become, like I said, a wireframe for how we approach with all of our different advertisers. But yeah, typically what we see as the biggest friction is that lack of transparency with things like take rates or, you know, the ability to get all of that passback data or even the optional kind of the optional pieces within the bid stream that just aren't included, and nobody's really been asking anymore. I think when we first started our SPO journey with a lot of, you know, clients or a lot of advertisers, we were asking all of the in-depth questions because it was the biggest topic of the day. There's so many other big topics that are up now. Like if I hear one more conversation around AI or attention or things like that, I think that's really taken the front seat. And you know, we tend to have that kind of wireframe in place for exactly this reason, so that we don't end up having to go back and do the exact same thing over and over with partners that haven't really made any sort of progress in the last few years.
Yeah, it's interesting that you mentioned about the bid object having those containers in that just don't get used, because the solution already exists to make it, and it's quite simple to implement.
Exactly. And, you know, I think they're at this point almost taking advantage of the fact that people aren't looking. You know, there's something shinier over here that's happening, so they're taking that chance to kind of continue a status quo. So ideally, you know, by having those kind of larger frameworks in place, it just gives us an opportunity to not have to, like, you know, retrace the same steps with every single advertiser.
And how much, in the sort of different ways that you might buy inventory, how much does that change, like how much you can see transparently, whether you're doing it through, I mean, obviously managed services is probably very opaque, but from that all the way through to sort of open market inventory?
Yeah, so I think for open market, for PMP stuff, as well as even now, to be honest, we get most of the PG deal information right back. We tend to see that most of the SSPs that we've slowly narrowed down to over the years have gotten really good about making sure that they're fully transparent in all of the different kind of objects that come through, as well as, you know, their percentages that they're taking across the board. The ones that we, like I said earlier, that we typically start to see a bit of nuances, spaces like a gaming or those slightly more niche, I don't even know if I can say that's niche anymore, but slightly more niche, you know, media buys or types, versus it being something where just one whole SSP and every piece of inventory that comes through from them is, you know, seeing that either sort of transparency or not. It's really down to more of the media type that we're seeing nowadays.
I think everyone's highlighted a lot of the points that I would have made, but I think main thing to add is mainly around, I guess, the logistics of managing that, because where I sit within the mirror, there are nuances between Europe versus America, and because obviously we're quite an American leaning company, they do have a test and learn agenda that they like to push forward. But yeah, so we've noticed that quite a lot, and where we are finding SSPs aren't that transparent, we do have like an in-house data science team that will take all the bidstream data and help us visualize what's happened pre, post-bid, and everything in between. So then we're able to then challenge back the SSP to say, hey, you said that you only gave us 5% by actually looking at the impressions that we've lost. It's actually more than that. Do you mind reviewing this and going again? So if anything, it gives us better opportunities to challenge them more, and that's something that we've been proactively doing, just because across a lot of the verticals that we're representing, whether it's automotive or retail, that's something that we're fully aware that you know, we want to make sure they don't get ripped off and they're, you know, getting the best value for money. And so that's something that we've proactively been able to challenge. And it does help kind of having that extra layer of data science support to help visualize all that information.
Yeah, it's crazy that you have to have kind of like a whole extra team of people just to kind of pick apart information that should be available quite easily.
Yeah, so get them to like QA it, make sure that what they've said versus what we're seeing is it's in parallel. So based upon that, we can then go back and especially when you're going into the reconciliation phase of, you know, what you've paid for versus what is available, you can then negotiate better. And then obviously business value to the client is like, you know, there's more savings and it gives us more opportunities to test other verticals. And so through that, I know you mentioned gaming, something we're looking at is like AR and VR as well, because it's popped up a lot for automotive brands because they're really wanting to extend the experience. And now that's another layer that we need to look at transparency for. And so, yeah, that should be a groovy project.
Yeah, so the easiest way to get people to do is test drives in their own home.
Yeah, of course. wear your headset and then off you go.
Nice. Yeah. Okay, cool. James, you want to take that next?
Yeah, I mean, to comment on the potential sort of frictions, I think I would be in a better position in a few months' time because we're actually about to sort of kick off an SPO process. So sounds like a lot of other clients are doing that as well, though, to be fair. So it's pretty on trend. But I'm happy to sort of describe how we might be going about it and what I think the challenges might be. There might be a bit of duplication, but we're a big global brand. Like we're present in pretty much every country apart from three. So having global coverage is pretty important. So and obviously, naturally, because of that, we spent with a lot of SSPs last year, like a significant amount, sort of in the three figures. So it would be my sort of ambition is to consolidate and get that down to far fewer and have deeper, more strategic relationships with your SSPs. Obviously, you're also able to then leverage your global spend and try and drive better commercial outcomes. So the way we're going about it is a criteria of those things, really. How good is any one SSP in terms of global coverage? What is their commercial sort of proposition that they're going to be offering us? And then three others are around strategic support, operational support, and transparency. So hopefully by the end of that, I think it's going to be pretty detailed. And I think it might be slightly different to how others go about SPO, because there's not going to be any actual sort of campaign data analyze, at least not at the start anyway. But I think where the frictions might go is, even though there is that ambition to work with fewer SSPs and have those more meaningful relationships, I think there's probably going to be a trade-off, because some are probably better at certain things than others, and some are probably better in certain markets than others. So if you do want to really narrow things down, you might have to seed one or two relationships where things might have been exceptional within the context of having a more consolidated approach and having better transparency, really. So I imagine that's going to be some conversations and some decisions that will have to be made. But again, we haven't concluded the process yet. But
kicking it off now so that he can finish up for the next lab talks, so he can be part of this conversation.
Look forward to hearing the results next time. But, I think as well, it's like the sort of UK and the US are very advanced in those sort of things that they're trying to achieve. But I guess it might be more difficult in sort of smaller regions where the publishers probably have even less money to sort of spend on all of this kind of ad tech to implement it on their sites.
Yeah, exactly. To be honest, like, we're very happy to be pragmatic. Like, as we go through this process, you know, you don't know what you don't know, and if you do unearth some really sort of key insights and important information that you just absolutely have to take into account and act on, then we're really happy to learn and iterate as we go. We do have an ambition, and we do have an outcome of where we want to get to, but as I said, we're happy to iterate that based on just what's going to be the best for the practice and best for the business when it comes to this kind of way of buying media.
Great, thanks. And I guess if we were to do some blue sky thinking, if you were to imagine that there might be an exchange that was going to give you 100% transparency, or even more than that, the transparency of the kind of lost bids as well, how would that improve your buying techniques and the outcomes that you could achieve? Laurie, do you want to go first on that?
Yes. I would say, for me, the more important piece is the kind of lost bids transparency, because while it's really helpful to kind of see that in your general reporting of all the bids that you have won, I think the piece that we're missing is the tie-in. I think the biggest bit being the sustainability piece of the lost bids, because I think, and this is where we a lot of times lose clients in the conversation, because you'll add something like bid density and you can just see their eyes slowly like dying. But these are the sort of ones where I think, you know, for me, that transparency on what we're not winning is going to be the key bit. I don't necessarily know where I see that kind of sit with our conversation with clients. I really think it depends on kind of the maturity of where they are in the market, because I think we've got some of our larger clients that are kind of more in the luxury space. They're very advanced. They are fully aware of the space within, you know, optimizations and within our supply path, and they're really on board with the idea of full transparency. I think there's still a little bit of gap in the knowledge there, but I would say the piece that they're really interested in is, you know, where we're seeing kind of that wastage or that loss for some of the campaigns, because even if we're still bidding, again, when we're talking about something like a sustainability, that's, you know, say 20% of your impressions or 20% of your lost impressions that you could be making up and kind of feeding back into your campaigns. So even if it's not something like a performance campaign, it's still important even from an awareness perspective. So we're having those conversations right now. And that's where I think we're winning over a lot more of our more performance-based clients on the concept of kind of full transparency and supply.
I know you said you kind of didn't want to talk necessarily about AI, but in terms of being able
to...
But in terms of being able to see all of that data, that's a lot of information for like a human to crunch, right? So in terms of being able to use that information better, you talked about bid density is one thing, but if you have some AI that's able to then see both sides of the bid and see where you might be able to bid better or what strategies might work better, how do you think that would kind of improve things?
I mean, this is much better than AI and creative conversations that I've had in the past. So yeah, I would say that's, it's definitely something our, not just at the Digitas level, but also at the publicist level, they've already started building out. Obviously they have their own AI tools. They have the SPO specific tools. So I think to your point, that is something they're currently working on, is combining those two to be able to see kind of the larger macro trends, not just something of like a particular client, but also all of our clients globally. So to the, your conversation around, you guys are in every market but three. We need to know who the three are.
It's a good pop quiz, that.
Yeah, for the end, folks. But I would say for that, I'm getting more value out of some of the larger kind of macro trends that they're seeing within individual regions versus some of the ones that they can provide just from a data science team for our particular clients. So either vertical level learning, so all of our travel clients, we're seeing X specific trend within, you know, each of those data sets. So I would say that's the bigger piece, or where I find the value in the combination of AI and kind of the transparency tools, because then we're able to, you know, the log level data is really helpful, and it's definitely something we're considering for each of our clients. But the macro level trends are not something that you typically see. And if you do, it costs a hell of a lot of money to get a sign off on something like that to use it in a day-to-day campaign. So I think I would see that as the biggest value.
Well, do you want to go next? I guess, like, you were talking about luxury brands and the prices being quite high, so being able to have a sort of more detailed bid strategy based on seeing both sides.
Yeah, because I think for us, once we have that 100% transparency, I think that would be a pot of gold for the luxury clients that we work with, because then we're able to provide them with more intelligent insights as to how to bid, why, to your point around the loss bids, because especially with luxury, I think that's the main thing that they're always interested in is to understand why we've lost this particular bid. And with transparency, it would make it much more easier. And then with that, would free up some budget to actually try out more like dynamic inventory, because that's something that within the markets that we're proactively trying to push. And the only reason why they don't intend to is because they don't trust the transparency as to what's available at SSP level. And so with that 100%, we'll just free up more time to innovate. And so that means we can then start to work across multiple verticals, whether it's VR, AR and things like that. And in terms of how we're using AI to help with the supply piece, it's something that OMD, we are trying to build in-house as well, through obviously using like ChatGPT to, you know, input some of our log data based upon that, trying to get it to figure out what would make sense at industry level as well as client level, and then sort of based upon that, feed that to the traders for them to then be able to provide insights, especially when they're doing reporting and things like that. So it's not just, oh, your CPM has gone up X percent, but it's more the reason it's gone up by X percent is because actually through the bid streams we've noticed, you know, it's because of the sustainability percentage going up and things like that. So I think it provides more intelligence, and so we can go equipped with a bit more insight, so then we can reassure the clients that we do know what we're doing. I'm just waffling on.
Kind of find it useful for taking lots of like big information and then distilling it down into something a bit more bite-sized, which I guess even for your clients as well must be quite helpful.
Yeah, because it's the whole less is more, and I've learned through the supply side things. Is that you don't want to overwhelm them with too much information. If you keep it simple, show them the benefits with 100%, then anything's possible from there, really. So, yeah.
Nice. And James, on your sort of SPO journey that you're about to start on, how would 100% transparency help that?
Well, I mean, just to speak about your capabilities, I generally think it's pretty game-changing technology, to be honest. I think I said when I was speaking to Ben on the podcast, I think that blockchain in general is going to go on a similar path to AI. And what I mean by that is most businesses, and I think most industries at the moment, are currently looking at AI and trying to understand how they can leverage it to improve what they do, like on a day-to-day basis. And I genuinely think over the next year, 2 years, however long it might be, the same thing is going to happen with blockchain. And I think if you look at most industries, I think that there is a lot the blockchain can do in terms of moving things forward. But I think especially if you look at programmatic buying, it really suits it. You know, a lot of the problems that we've spoken about today that, you know, that Ben teed up with and we've spoken about on the panel, like so much of it can be solved by transacting in that way. So, generally, I think it's a really, really exciting time for blockchain broadly, but even more so within our industry is what I'd say.
Yeah, thanks. I think it was interesting that the IAB had that study in like 2018 or something, so it's quite old now, but they even highlighted blockchain as the kind of silver bullet that was going to solve a lot of problems. It probably was too early for the technology at that point, but with the kind of ability to build sort of layer two solutions that are a lot cheaper to use and a lot more scalable, it's definitely made it more possible. So, yeah.
I mean, 100% transparency will be challenging, but I don't think that would be impossible. And in terms of like operationally, what that will do to everyone's point is give us like a true like understanding of the value of all the impressions that we're winning, not winning. Like understanding pricing versus quality, and it'd be fundamental, obviously. So, I mean, particularly, and it will require a lot of collaboration within the industry, but I think to an extent is what SPO is all about, is strategizing that value exchange between advertiser and publisher by creating better relationship, a smarter relationship with SSPs to then add, you know, better value to advertiser ROI. So, I mean, ideally, we will get there. It might take changing the status quo, and maybe it will be blockchain, maybe it will be AI. We'll see.
And so you guys also kind of have your own like reporting dashboards that you use kind of already. So being able to ingest that information into those and kind of use past data that you've already had and then kind of layer over sort of fuller view might be helpful as well.
Yeah. I mean, I think what I think would be very interesting to see if things like roles like prompt engineers that will become like something super common in like within the programmatic ecosystem to use like generative AI in a way that it's actually like useful to have these kind of outputs. So that'd be interesting to see.
Okay, I think we'll probably wrap things up there, but thanks very much to my guests for joining me on today's panel. It was a really interesting view from everybody, so thanks.